America and all of our listeners all over the world. You're listening to yet another exciting edition of Let's Weekend. I'm your host with the most, Brian Perkins. Joining me as always, Chris Logie. Say hi, Chris.
Hello.
Yeah. Show is going to be for August 28th, 2021, last show of the month. And, summer is really only going to be here for another couple weeks.
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. I say that, and then, you know, knowing what it's been like the last couple of years, it's going to say, yeah, technically, you know, autumn starts on, like, this 21st of September, and then it decides to hang around for another month or so. You know, like, well into October.
Yeah.
So, amongst other things that we'll be talking about this week, we will, of course, be talking about the fallout in Afghanistan that has been basically dominating the news cycle. As everybody knows, we have officially ended major combat operations in that country, but we are still in there for the time being, and, well, a bunch of shit went down. Of course, we do, of course, once again, have to bring out the COVID-19 dump truck because a bunch of shit happened with that as well, including some news about the eviction moratorium. That is not good, but we'll be getting to that. Also, there's Hurricane Ida, and it is on its way right now as we speak. I'm not sure if we're actually going to get, like, any major effect here in Georgia. You know, like, normally, with that one exception that happened that one year when we actually got hit by, like, a full-force tropical storm. Most of the time when hurricanes happen, we usually get, like, some severe weather for a day or two, and that's about it. Just a lot of rain. Asian murder hornets. Yep, they're a thing again. They're back. It's like what makes life in this timeline just so much fun. And of course, we got some entertainment stuff to talk about as well. So we got all of that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So let's start us off, as we always do. Chris, other than dealing with the awful heat, what have you been doing this week?
That's been the big thing for the week, dealing with a lot of excess heat that just makes it miserable to be outside.
Mm-hmm.
We did have the one day, I think Thursday, where a storm rolled by just enough to, you know, blot out the sun for a little while.
Yeah.
and drop the temps for the next few hours to like a good 10 to 15 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
And bring in some nice wind. That was pretty nice.
Yes, that was pleasant, I'm sure.
Luckily, no rain with it, because it just stayed just far enough away that it wasn't dropping anything on us, but enough to make it habitable to be outside for a while.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that was kind of the theme of the week. It's just, it's so fucking hot out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, around 90 degrees for the most part.
Yep. That's generally the case down here.
Yeah, so that's been the big thing there. For things I've been watching, I haven't really been watching too much. I saw that the new Bill and Ted movie was on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided to watch all three of them.
Yeah.
The other two are on HBO Max for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched those two, and they're definitely products of their era.
Oh, yes.
I would say Wayne's World, those two movies are probably better than the first two Bill and Ted's in terms of...
Well, the first Wayne's World in particular is considered like a legit classic.
Yeah. Of like dudes that are, you know, kind of listless with their life.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of thing. And are very much of a kind of, maybe not stoner, but they're of that kind of ilk.
Well, it was basically, it was like the sort of, the kind of stereotypical Gen X type thing.
Yeah.
You know, you're going off the, you're kind of coming off the excess of the 80s and, you know, sort of the economic downturn that came with it.
Yeah, and the Bill and Ted movies, all three of them are like a hard 90 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not, they're kind of rushing through the plot. No real, you know, sitting and enjoying the, you know, scenery. Not really much of that there. The one big thing that was kind of the, ooh, this doesn't hold up so well, is that once in each of the first two movies, they use the F word, fag.
Yeah, welcome to the late 80s, dude.
Yeah. It was like just one time. The second one, the two bad Bill and Ted's use it.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to kill the good ones.
Mm.
That kind of thing. I was like, ooh, if you could remove this bit, the rest of it would hold up about as well as a movie like this could. Because a lot of it is referential, especially to music stuff, though I was surprised how little like notable rock music is in these two movies.
Oh, well, there are some that I recognize, but yeah.
Yeah. It's like, because the second one ends with them playing God Gave Rock and Roll.
Yeah, by Kiss.
Yeah. Which, like, or that the makes cover. Sense.
Anyway, the original song is like, I think by I think it was, crap. I'm trying to remember.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was the Kiss cover from that era. Yeah.
Yeah, which makes sense for that movie. Why that would be like the closing number? I didn't know that. That's they recontextualized that. It's not the song that unites the world or anything, because that's the plot of the third one, is they haven't never figured out what that song's supposed to be. But yeah, I'd never really seen either of the first two in full. I've caught them on, you know, like Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon, TBS or TNT or whatever, and like watch the rest of them. So there's a good bit there I remembered, and a lot of the beginning parts I did not. So, like, I knew the part with Death, that kind of thing, which I didn't realize that is the bad guy from Die Hard 2, who also comes back for the third movie, Face the Music. And, yeah, they do a good job with, like, trying to bring these fun people out of historical figures back into modern day. That kind of thing. The third movie actually does a pretty good job with that, because they don't go too far with that, but it's the two daughters kind of try to round up this band for their dads. And get like Jimi Hendrix, like Louis Armstrong when he's in his like 20s.
Yep.
So they go for some historical ones, like her name is Ling Lun. One of the people credited with discovering, like, inventing music in ancient China. They end up with Kid Cudi, because he's just a figure in the beginning where, like, oh, time's all fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, George Washington gets warped into some random place, and Kid Cudi's in there, and Jesus, and who else? I forget, one other person, like, they just start getting swapped around, because reality is destabilizing, and time is destabilizing, too, so they have to figure out this song. It ends up being like a everybody plays music together kind of thing that saves everybody. It's a little bit weird, but for the most part, they all hold up pretty well. They're just very cheesy, and they're just quick cuts to the next thing. They don't really linger on anything too long. So nice way to spend, like, you know, a quick 90 minutes, which is the thing that really made it more bearable for what that is. So that's that. Definitely recommend checking them out if you haven't. Just see, like, what a pop culture movie was for the late 80s, early 90s. Especially seeing some actors. I was looking up a lot of their IMDb pages and seeing which ones had outgrown the movies or not. It's like their, what was considered their most well-known. And even the the guy that was the bad guy in Die Hard 2, he still had that movie as his one of his top four. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's a shame. He should be more well known.
Yeah.
I guess, but his other movies are like all bangers, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves didn't have it on there. Obviously, I forget what the other guy's name is, Winters. He is obviously has not really done too much outside of the Bill and Ted movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, those are pretty neat. The new one, I think, is probably the best of them. Though the thing watching those first two is like, geez, these costumes are shit cheap.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, we just got the styrofoam thing. We just kind of formed into like stupid looking shoulder guards or whatever for
yeah
George Carlin to wear. It's like, this is a really stupid fucking outfit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they intentionally went out of the way to make it look different than other future movies. And also, there's no logic to the future stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the science of, because the first movie, they send George Carlin back to get the boys to make sure they pass their history class, but it's like, they obviously did if the future exists, and it's all based around them too.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is all about this resistance group that sends these bad Bill and Ted robots to the past to kill Bill and Ted, because that's going to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a weird thing, but yeah, so that's that. For games, not really been playing much either. Been kind of just relaxing, but I have put a good bit of time into Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Working my way through the battle pass there, gotten some good wins in there. I had a couple games where I was just doing everything I could to fuck up, and somehow mm-hmm. I was still killing people and just getting mad at them. Like, how are you so bad that I am literally doing everything wrong and somehow still win the fight?
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. So that's been that. Let's see. Been playing more Rocket League.
All right.
Getting the new week's challenges done, luckily. So that's been good. Just working my way through the ranking stuff. Still enjoying that a lot. And dipped a little bit into Psychonauts. Still in like the first area, but they go for it in the early parts, because the first stage, like the, if you've never played Psychonauts, I think each of the stages is set in like the mind of a certain character. It's like the beginning of the first game starts in the coach's mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much got like war flashback kind of theme to it, as the various students are kind of working their way through their like training session.
Mm-hmm.
This one starts with one of the bad guys from the first game, the dentist dude.
Mm-hmm.
Has like the weird eyes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
He is, I guess, part of the Psychonauts team at the beginning, and then you sort of figure out like, oh, he's not with us really. He was mm-hmm. just trying to be nice to fool us into getting whatever he wanted. So you're kind of going around in his mind, which, since he's a dentist, there's a lot of teeth shit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the body horror style stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like pulling a zipper of teeth,
mm-hmm.
and they open up and move.
Oh, yeah.
In ways, it's like, no. Yeah. I don't want to be putting teeth back into gums to make a platform to get around.
Yeah, the first game had a lot of shit like that.
Yeah, I never really got that far into it. Like, I beat that first stage pretty recently. It's like, okay, well, maybe I'll come back to it, and I just didn't. But the second one seems to control well and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Does a good job of messing around with perspective, at least early on, because you're like told to follow that dentist guy around.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds some fun ways to like change the perspective, where you're walking and then realize, oh, this hallway the end of it is the floor of this other area, and you're kind of jumping on the cubicle walls is like platformers, like a platformer mm-hmm. kind of stuff, 2D platformer kind of thing, and they eventually end up on the wall, that kind of stuff. So there's some neat stuff to it. Seems like there's a bit more of a focus on combat.
Yeah.
Because now there's, you know, it has like health bars above enemies. Mm-hmm. So you can tell how many more times you have to hit them to take them out, that kind of stuff. You still have, you know, figments of your imagination to collect in each level, as well as tags for the emotional baggage you can find. Lots mm-hmm. of neat little ways that they bring collectibles into it in mental health kind of terms that returns from the first game. So there's a lot of that kind of stuff, and the beginning of the game is all kind of giving you a quick quick refresher of what the first game story was. So if you haven't played it, you don't need to. They'll just give you the quick story rundown,
mm-hmm.
which isn't exactly that much of a story. It's not like super involved thing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was pretty good. But I'm gonna put some more time into it. Just not really a fan of the teeth shit.
Yeah,
it's a hell of a way to start your game.
Yeah. All right. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay. What about Fortnite?
I talked about it.
Oh yeah. Okay. So you saw did you see the MLK thing they did?
Yeah, I haven't started it yet.
Yeah. All right.
That's a neat way to do that stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
considering how much educational stuff is kind of getting fucked in this country.
Yeah. The odd thing about... Okay, so like, one of the neat facts about that whole speech he gave, it's the I Have a Dream speech, obviously, if anybody is wondering.
Yeah.
So that whole I Have a Dream portion of the speech actually was not written. It was entirely improvised. He had come to the end of his speech, and apparently he still had like some time or whatever. And the I Have a Dream theme had been a thing he had brought up in like some of his sermons in the past. And apparently somebody, I'm not sure if it was one of his entourage or somebody who was in the audience, said, "Tell him about the dream, Martin. And he said, "All right." He's like, "All right, I'll do all this." And that's how that became one of the most famous speeches in American history.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, let's be honest, he gets whitewashed to hell and back by both parties, very much so.
Oh, yeah, they find their quotes, and that's yeah. their knowledge of him.
Yeah. But anyway. All right, so as for me, I am playing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition again. I'm getting further into it. Like I said, you know, after I got my new hard drive and everything, I'm trying to go back and play some of this stuff and get further along with it now that I don't have to worry about, you know, the machine suddenly dying on me halfway through and erasing all my data and shit. But, yeah, still good. Still loving it. Still fun. I am also still watching Firefly. I'm about midway through the one season that exists. As everybody knows, famously, that was a show that only got to film one season and didn't even get to finish the whole season on television. If you buy the show on DVD or Blu-ray, you will, in fact, see the 3 episodes of what was supposed to be a 14-episode season that ended up getting canceled by episode 11. But, yeah, so that show is, like I said last time, what fascinates me about that show is how effortlessly they were able to sort of take Chinese and American culture and meld them together so easily. Everything about them from like their, and really this is like a massive credit to Joss Whedon's world building abilities. He basically used like a sort of Wild West theme, a sort of like his sort of overall template, because Firefly is essentially like a space western. And that's a very good description of it. Because basically once you get out from all the central planets that are in the alliance, that are in the union of allied planets, and you get out into what was the former independence territory, you'll basically see that because they don't have as much like technological information that, you know, the union promised to give them, they've essentially regressed into something akin to, a society during the frontier period with horses and everything. But what he then does is, because the sort of whole idea is that, you know, the planet of the planets that this particular show, you know, takes place in was settled by generation ships that were created by both the United States and the People's Republic of China. Their cultures are both completely meshed together. So they'll usually say, you know, speak English, and then they'll randomly drop in like, some random Mandarin, usually untranslated. And you sort of have to get the idea from context clues, but it's, you know, it, like their clothing, the way they eat, like you'll see them like eating food from tin cups using chopsticks. The way their cities are set up and everything. It's utterly fascinating how they managed to pull this off. It's genuinely amazing. I love it. I'm guessing, you know, since after I'm finished with the season, I'm going to have to get a copy of Serenity, because that's basically the end of the show, at least as far as, you know, film is concerned. You know, after that, you got a bunch of comic books and stuff I got to read. But yeah, so I'm doing that. And yeah, I'm just greatly anticipating the end of summer. Like I said, this is August 28th. Summer in here in the United States officially ends on September 21st, which is, looking from my calendar here, that's not too far off. Let's see. Yeah, it's only a few weeks from now. But then again, let's be honest here. Time is freaking meaningless because of this freaking epic pandemic. In fact, shockingly, much like, you know, how 2020 was, this year went by really quickly. And yet at the same time seemed to last forever. That's just sort of what it's like when you're living in the plague years, I guess. But yeah, all right, so Chris, you got anything you want to add before we move on?
Nope.
Nope. Okay, then. Well, then, it is now time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. This week, I wanted to talk about one of those odd little events that happen in history that, even though it starts off as like a massive joke, it quickly spirals out of control into completely altering history as we know it. And it's usually, it can be the strangest little things. It can be like, you know, sometimes it can be deadly serious. Like, here in the U.S., oftentimes we talk about, how like John Brown's raid on Harper's Ferry was like the sort of like the spark that ignited the American Civil War. You know, something deadly serious like that. Or it can be something incredibly just unbelievably silly that then spirals out of control and basically destroys an entire country. Like what happened in what is now the former Yugoslavia. Because holy shit, this is so fucking silly. Okay. So, Yugoslavia. Chris, what do you know about Yugoslavia? Other than the fact that it's not there anymore.
The name.
Okay, yeah. Okay, that's understandable. Okay, so if you look at a map today, and you'll notice there is no Yugoslavia anymore. Yugoslavia has not existed since the 90s. It basically started to come apart at the seams in the late 80s, and then by the turn of the millennium, it had turned into a bunch of independent republics, you know, Serbia, Croatia, Bosnia, all these, you know, little places. But up until the early 90s, all of these little countries were, in fact, one federation under the name of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia, which was ruled until his death in the mid-80s by the great Marshal Tito, or his real name was Josip Broz Tito, who was a famous partisan who set up an independent socialist republic in the middle of Eastern Europe. It was famous because it was part of the what was called the sort of non-aligned movement, meaning it was neither aligned with the communist bloc, nor was it aligned with the capitalist bloc. But the thing is, he took a bunch of countries made up of a bunch of ethnic groups that had absolutely fucking hated each other, like in a murderous, bloody rage, until he united them all under one particular country. And for the rest of his life as the ruler of that country, he and his regime and his secret police did everything they possibly could to stamp out any kind of separatist or independence rhetoric or movement in the country because, well, if you know how the story with Yugoslavia ends, you'll find out that he was not entirely wrong. Once he died and they tried to fill in the void that his death left, the country of Yugoslavia basically started coming apart very, very fast. But one of the things you have to also understand is that before Tito and his partisans ended up taking control of the area, the area had been for a few years controlled by the Ustasa, who were these notoriously brutal ultranationalist fascists that basically ruled Croatia from 1941 to 1945, and they were infamously brutal to Serbs, Jews, Romani, just anybody they did not consider to be part of a greater Croatia. They were so brutal that they even made the Nazis blanch. Legitimately. But because of that, you know, once Tito came in, he was like, okay, that's all one country. You know, we are all Yugoslavians. We are not Croatians. We are not Serbians. We are none of these things. We are Yugoslavians, and that's that. But even if you do that, those little ethnic tensions still bubble underneath the surface. And that was especially true with the rural parts of the area. And that's where this week's story comes in. So in 1985, out in the middle of Kosovo, there was a Serbian farmer by the name of Dorde Martinovic, all right? Now, Dorde Martinovic, one afternoon, had just finished, you know, doing his job. He was out there, you know, he was cutting the wheat, you know, getting it ready to go off for the harvest. And he had just finished drinking this bottle of cheap booze that was made in Yugoslavia. He had finished all his work, and he was like, you know what? I'm out here in the middle of the frickin' nowhere, in the middle of Eastern Europe. You know, I ain't really got much that I can do. There ain't no livestock around. So I'm looking at this bottle, and I'm thinking, you know what? I think it's time to experiment a little. So, and I swear to God, I'm not making any of this up. This is all 100% true. This 56-year-old farmer decides to take the bottle, he ties it to a stake that he then rams into the ground, and he sits on it, you know, bottle up first. And he uses it for exactly the reason you think he does. And then the thing breaks off and gets stuck in his ass. So he then has to go to a local hospital because, you know, he's got a broken bottle stuck in his ass. And when he gets there, he can't tell them that, you know, he's like, dude, I was out in the middle of the field and I was masturbating myself with this bottle. He's like, no, man, I can't say that because, you know, this is Eastern Europe and everybody's all macho and shit and it would be unmanly. So he tells the doctors there is that he was accosted and abused by a couple of young Albanian gentlemen who beat him and then forced him to the ground and then shoved the bottle into his ass and broke it off. So since this was technically since that would technically count as assault and battery, the doctors were of course required to report the potential crime to the police. And since this would technically have been an ethnic, this technically could have counted as a crime of ethnic hatred. Again, we're talking about a country where, you know, separatist and, you know, independence rhetoric is clamped down on very seriously, and the idea of racial harmony is extremely serious. They then have to report this to the Yugoslav People's Army. Now, he admitted while talking to the colonel from the army that he had got interrogated from that, yeah, I was basically doing this for masturbation. So, you know, so like after that happened, people was like, dude, just look, man, be more careful in the future, please. But unfortunately for both of them, the story had already gotten out. And then when Mr. Martinovic was transferred over to another hospital over in Belgrade for further investigation, for whatever reason, the investigators there, the medical team, reported that his injuries were not consistent with a self-inflicted wound. Now, again, the dude admitted this was 100% his fault. But these guys said, no, it would have had to have been done by a sudden insertion of jamming of a 500 milliliter bottle, or at least the wider end, into his rectum. That it was probably physically impossible for him to have done this to himself. Again, he admitted that, yeah, he did it to himself. And once that story got out, it went insane. The Serbian press was overwhelmed with a flood of nationalist and anti-Albanian statements. Remember, I need to add this in, Marshal Tito had actually died in, I think it was 1980, 1981. So he'd been dead for a few years by this point. But, and, you know, media outlets in the country, they had systematically downplayed any ethno-nationalism. Mostly because they figured if they, you know, they could get out of themselves, they wouldn't have to deal with, you know, trouble from the government. But once this happened, it basically destroyed the taboo against ethno-nationalism in the region. The Serbian newspaper Politica asserted that the individuals who attacked him were members of a local Albanian family who wanted to purchase his land. There were even analogies made to the Ottoman Turks who ruled Serbia during the 17th and 18th century. And for those who don't know, the Ottomans used to use impalement as a means of torture or execution. So the idea of him getting, you know, having been quote unquote impaled on this beer bottle brought up images of that. There was like a fucking poem that was written about it. There was a painting that was written where he's like a Christ-like figure. And, you know, you got to remember, like I pointed out earlier, the Serbs were actually massive victims of Croatian brutality during World War II. So any type of attack on Serbians, they were especially sensitive to. And then there was the other problem. You see, Serbians are largely Orthodox Christians. And by that, I mean, you know, Eastern Orthodox. Whereas, you know, Croats and Bosnians are primarily Roman Catholic and Muslim. Well, that also started to play into it because there was this long time, like, stereotype that Muslims had a penchant for sodomy. And there were, you know, Serb nationalists who were quoted as saying Muslims are fixated in the anal phase of their psychosocial development and are therefore characterized by general aggressiveness and obsession with precision and cleanliness. So they point as like, so he was probably attacked by an Albanian Muslim or whatever. But the point is, this one incident basically is often considered to be like the spark that ultimately led to the Yugoslav Wars. All because a frisky farmer decided to sit on a bottle, it broke off in his ass, and because he was embarrassed, he had to blame a bunch of imaginary Albania. And that has been yet another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid. Yeah. All right. Speaking of which, speaking of things going into their asses, we've got a... start off with the show proper, and as always with the show proper, we start off with the assholes of the week. And our first asshole of the week is OnlyFans, because remember last week when we basically announced that OnlyFans was going to commit suicide by banning porn from their platform? Well, guess who decided to have a change of mind this week?
Who's that?
OnlyFans! Because apparently they realize which side of the bread they get buttered.
Yeah, and then their attempts to use the whole, our payment processors and banking partners are requiring this change.
Yeah.
Maybe weren't 100% accurate on their part.
Yeah.
If they could just be like, no, we're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, they said...
It's also possible that, you know, the MasterCard and people were like, they were like, you know, maybe this wasn't a good idea when we made these changes. Maybe we'll go back and alter some of this. So that's also possible. But ultimately, the point is that OnlyFans realized that doing this would basically be business suicide.
They say here, the proposed October 1st, 2021 changes are no longer required due to banking partners' assurances that OnlyFans can support all genres of creators.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay.
Mm.
They've done enough that there's probably certain people that are just going to look for one of the other places they could go to.
Mm. But there are alternatives, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think OnlyFans realize that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to point out something, I think, because... a lot of people don't realize this, but there's actually a particular culprit you can point to maybe trying to intimidate OnlyFans into doing this. There's this evangelical organization called Exodus Cry, and their mission is to try and deplatform every part of the sex industry that they can. Do you remember a few months back when Pornhub purged their user-created content section? Yeah, they're the reason for that. So obviously OnlyFans realize that, you know, they know where their business is, and they're not going to go the way of Tumblr, so...
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that was smart thinking, I gotta be honest. Also, it means that, you know, sex workers don't have to, you know, be enchained to the major porn industry corporations. They can be independent contractors.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the other major reason why there was such an outcry to this. But, yeah. Next up, Sydney Powell. You remember her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the formerly legitimate attorney who seems to have gone off the deep end in the last couple of years. And then had this long thing where she was like, the election is illegitimate, blah, blah, blah. And then it turned out she had nothing. Like, her arguments and shit were like misspelled and garbled and like word salad-y and shit. Well, yeah. her and her cohorts are now being sanctioned for their failed bullshit election suit.
Yep. Yeah, District Judge Linda Parker wrote, "This lawsuit represents a historic and profound abuse of the judicial process.
Mm-hmm.
It is one thing to take on the charge of vindicating rights associated with an allegedly fraudulent election.
Mm-hmm.
It is another to take on the charge of deceiving a federal court and the American people into believing that rights were infringed without regard to whether any laws or rights were in fact violated. This is what happened here." So I believe at least Sidney Powell is being brought up for review in Texas, where her bar license is at.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to at least be investigated for that. See if she can maybe get it taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So there's
that. Yeah, she definitely needs to be disbarred, and she needs help. Because I do not think this woman is well. But, yeah. And then, our last asshole of the week. Remember last year when there was, like, you know, back when Trump was still president and there was all that shit about Liberate Michigan, you know, during the COVID lockdowns and shit, and then it turned out a bunch of assholes tried to kidnap the governor?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of those guys is now getting 6 years in prison.
Good. Yeah, 6 years and 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
This guy is 25, the only member of the six men facing federal charges in the kidnapping plot to plead guilty for his role.
Mm-hmm.
Also received 3 years of supervised release following his prison sentence. He has struck a plea deal with prosecutors and agreed to cooperate in the investigation,
mm-hmm.
turn government witness, and disclose crucial details about a plan to kidnap Whitmer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at his sentencing hearing on Wednesday, he apologized to Whitmer, who was not in the courtroom, and her family for his involvement. Also apologized to his family and told federal judge that he hopes to help others from becoming radicalized.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully he learns his lesson.
Yeah.
I guess the trial for the other five men begins October 12th.
Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that goes.
Yep.
All right. And now, moving on from our assholes of the week, we can get that taste out of our mouth with the heroes of the week. And our first hero of the week is the FDA, because this Monday, the FDA finally gave the Pfizer COVID vaccine its full approval.
Yeah. I hear the goalposts are moving.
Yeah, I can already hear them shifting now. But basically what this means is that now the various government agencies and the military and other places can now mandate vaccination.
Yeah, I think the New York school system has already done this.
Yep.
I required it for teachers.
Mm-hmm.
As well as, you know, the military and other places.
Yeah. And I guess pretty much the entire government is going to end up doing this for everyone that works for the government. And considering the government is the largest employer in the United States, that will be a significant increase in the vaccination rate.
At least for the federal government.
Yeah.
State ones will be up to the governors.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe half will do the right thing.
Maybe. Maybe. And then this week also, we finally found out who it was, who the Capitol Police officer was that was responsible for shooting Ashley Babbitt. He revealed himself in an interview with Lester Holt on NBC, and apparently the reason this happened is because apparently his identity had already been doxed sometime beforehand. So he decided to just come public with it.
Yeah, he talks about in the interview that he's already been getting threats.
Mm-hmm.
Some of which are racist in nature.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lester Holt asked some good questions, you know, a lot of stuff about, you know, the training he had.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that was the right decision or not. He said he believed he made the right decision because he had, you know, members of the House of Representatives and Senate nearby that he had to protect.
Well, we've all seen the footage, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you'll notice there's like this whole stream of people that are like on the other side of the door they're moving. That's them. That's the House of Representatives. You know, that's the reason why those people were trying to break into that door in the first place. Because they were running by. And that's why that dude had his gun out. Because, you know, these are you know, this is the government we're talking about, and that's his job. He is to defend the duly elected representatives of the people. And then Ashley Babbitt, you know, had been warned several times, you know, back off. I will use lethal force if I must do it, if it is necessary. And she tried to break through the fucking door. We all saw it.
Yeah. Trump came up. So I'm talking about how Trump described him or described Ashley Babbitt as murdered at the hands of someone who should never pull the trigger of his gun. He was very much disappointed by that, saying, you know, if he was in the room or anywhere and I'm responsible for him, I was prepared to do the same thing for him and his family. Like, he's there to protect the people that need protecting.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't care, you know, Democrat, Republican, whatever. Like, also brought up, I think that's been going around as well as like some disciplinary thing from a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
About how, yeah, he made a mistake. He's owned up for it and has done better since then.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So, yeah. Well, worth watching the interview.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the dude is very level-headed, very down-to-earth. You know, he's obviously not used to getting this much attention.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, all right. So with that, it is time to go from the show proper to the proper show proper. And first things we got to talk about, of course, is the Afghanistan fallout. Like I said at the top of the show, major military activities have ceased in that country. However, we have put out a perimeter around, I believe, the Kabul airport because there are people who are still trying to flee the country. And we have made it, you know, our job to make sure that they are able to leave safely. And then a couple of dudes with ISIS walked in with some suicide bombs and killed a shit ton of people. They walked in, killed 13 U.S. service members and over 60 Afghani civilians, including some Taliban people, apparently.
I don't know that people necessarily know it, but Taliban does not like the ISIS.
Nope. And I'm pretty sure it's for doctrinal reasons. Yeah. Also because the Taliban are as much a nationalist movement as they are a hardcore fundamental Islamic movement. And ISIS is basically trying to create like a new caliphate that blankets up most of the Middle East. So yeah, they don't get along very well.
Yeah, and this was like in affiliates, ISIS in Khorasan,
mm-hmm.
or as people are calling it, ISIS-K.
Yeah.
Claimed the attack.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that, and yeah, it's sad. It seems like Biden tonight has said there will likely be another attack.
Yeah.
Some sort.
It was anger, but not really surprised. We all kind of, I think a lot of people, when they seriously look at the situation, kind of expect that shit like this might happen.
Yeah. ISIS, you know, would take the opportunity to take advantage of chaos.
Yeah. But all they've really done is they kind of forced the U.S. and the Taliban to cooperate and interact more.
Yeah.
But yeah, President Biden has vowed retaliation for this attack, which has already happened. There was some drone strikes that took out a couple of key ISIS targets. There will probably be more than likely.
Yeah. There was some sort of planner that was killed in one of these strikes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And Airbnb have said that they will be providing housing, free housing, for 20,000 Afghan refugees around the world.
Yeah, some good news for Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to sort of cover the cost for helping out a bunch of these refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can kind of get at least a short stay and somewhere safe.
Yeah.
As they figure out what their next steps are.
Yeah. Pretty sure a lot of them are probably going to be headed here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As well as a number of places in Europe.
Yeah, as a number of places in Europe and probably some other places in the Middle East too. I know a bunch of them have, made their ways to, you know, Iran and Saudi Arabia, some other places, Qatar, the UAE. But yeah, a bunch of them are probably going to come over here too, you know, as is their right and as is we should allow, considering, you know, they put their lives on the line to help us.
Yeah.
We certainly owe them that much.
It costs a fraction of the money that it would to keep the war going.
Yeah, it costs a fraction of the money that we spent in that fucking country.
Yeah. To basically end up where we were before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, moving on from there, we're go back in the alleyway, pull up the garage door, and beep, beep, because we're backing up the COVID-19 dump truck again. So, this week, start off, we got to talk about some shit that went down in Japan. Japan has suspended about 1.6 million doses of the Moderna vaccine shots because apparently a report came out that they may have been contaminated.
Yep. I don't know necessarily what the potential contamination is. I say there are potential contaminants in some vials. Obviously, it would take a lot of work to figure out, you know, which ones are salvageable
mm-hmm.
or not. But it's a big blow for them trying to get mm-hmm. people vaccinated there.
Yeah.
It's been slow for them.
Yeah. The Moderna one is the vaccine I got. Which one did you get?
Pfizer.
You got the Pfizer one? Yeah. Yeah. So just anybody who's listening, there is nothing wrong with the Moderna vaccine itself. It's just this one case of some of them ended up getting contaminated. I got both shots of Moderna months ago. I'm completely fine. So
yeah. Just
get that out in the open, out in front, before that shit spreads around.
I don't know if you saw what the full name is now for the Pfizer vaccine.
It's like Corlaxton or something like that.
Comirnaty?
Yeah.
It's like community, but Mirnaty?
Yeah, Comirnaty. Yeah.
Mirnaty.
Yeah, that's the retail name, basically.
Yeah.
Basically, whenever a drug gets approved for sure by the FDA and it's ready to go on the market, they give it a retail name. That's what. So because I have to point this out because, again, you know, you still got that anti-vax bullshit here, and there are people who were talking about this. It's like, you know, if you look at the paperwork to find out, they're not talking about any kind of Pfizer vaccine. They're approving this thing called Comirnaty. You know, it's like that's the retail name. It's the same drug.
Yeah, it's, all these drugs get weird fucking names.
Yeah, because it's a medical language. You know, you've got some training in medicine, you know, it's complete gibberish.
Yeah, you know? It makes it easier so it's not easily already been trademarked or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. All right, next up. And, oh yeah, we got fun shit here. The Supreme Court of the United States has officially ended the Biden administration's eviction moratorium.
Yeah, not really a huge surprise because the way that it went about was
super legal. Yeah, or super kosher. It was basically the CDC that got it started. And there, you know, what exactly the limit of the CDC's authority has always been kind of controversial. And
yeah, it needed to be. Like when that first happened, that was through power granted by Congress.
Yeah,
sort of. There wasn't anything backing this new extension for that, so it seemed like a matter of time before that would get challenged and thrown out.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, it still doesn't seem like a great thing to uphold,
mm-hmm.
especially when you see it's 6-3 party lines kind of thing going there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's not great news.
Mm-hmm. Definitely not. Not for millions of people who are going to have trouble paying their rent.
Yeah.
Fucking landlords, dude. And then Do you remember that story a while back of that, you know, copped on a supermarket's fresh vegetables because she was just being an asshole?
Yeah.
You know, she's like, oh no, I got COVID. Now you all got COVID too. Yeah, she's going to be spending a year in jail because of that bullshit.
Yep, spending at least a year in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Pled guilty in June to a felony count of making bomb threats. Yeah, she entered a Garrity's supermarket location in Hanover Township near Wilkes Barre on March 25th, 2020 and purposely coughed on fresh produce of the merchandise while yelling that she had the virus and that everyone would get sick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the co-owner of the supermarket chain said that over $35,000 worth of merchandise had to be thrown out as a result of what she's called a twisted prank.
Yeah.
She tested negative for COVID, according to her attorney, who said she was intoxicated at the time of the incident, which is like, no shit.
Mm-hmm.
Either she's really fucked up or she was on something that caused her, not really caused her, but accentuated her desire to be an asshole.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, sentenced her to 1 to 2 years in jail, to be followed by 8 years of probation.
Yeah.
In order to pay nearly $30,000 in restitution, so.
Yeah.
Good job for that twisted prank.
Yeah. You had to show your ass, and now you got actions have consequences. Actions have consequences. Yeah. God, it just makes me thankful that, you know, the fucking school district where I live in has a mask mandate. But anyway. All right, now on to the rest of the news. First and foremost, the House of Representatives passed that $3.5 trillion budget resolution. Now, it's important to point out what this means. That doesn't mean that there's an actual budget that's been collected and that's been pointed out and it's going to be passed. The actual budget is going to happen through budget reconciliation, meaning that it's still got to be... I don't want to necessarily say that it still has to be written, because I'm pretty sure a bunch of this shit has already been written down.
Yeah.
But it technically still has other pieces that still have to be written. Now, this now means that they can actually go through with it.
Yeah. There was like a group of moderates that wanted to hold it up for some reason, which I think Nancy and some of the other top Democrats basically talked to them about, you know, how much they would like to keep getting funding from the Democratic Party.
Yeah, it's like, how much do you like being in office?
Yeah.
Because if you don't vote for this, you're probably not going to be for office next time this comes up, you know, next time election comes up. Which, by the way, we have another election next year.
And this year?
Well, it's 2022, isn't it?
For midterms, but there's still stuff going on here.
Well, yeah, that's true. But year. You get the point.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you like being in office because, you know, depending on how you vote on this, that might not be a thing.
Yeah, and I think part of it is that people want the infrastructure bill to be put up right now for a vote.
Mm-hmm.
Which it seems like Nancy wants to sort of do both at once.
Yeah.
Push them all in together.
Yeah.
So that, you know, one doesn't, so that, you know, one passes and the other one doesn't.
Yeah.
Because they're so
far. And I think, didn't the other infrastructure bill, I'm pretty sure that one got passed in the House too, didn't it?
It passed in the Senate, so it's just waiting for the House to pass the final version so it goes to Biden for the vote, for the signing.
Yeah. Well, now that they've got this written down, you know, I mean, they've still got to get the budget reconciliation, get it all written down, but I'm pretty sure once it's written out, doesn't that, you know, that mean that, I'm trying to remember, do they have to vote on it again after the budget reconciliation process is finished?
I don't know. I know the infrastructure bill has to be run back through the House because it was changed.
Yeah.
Sort of added some more stuff to it.
Mm-hmm.
So that version has to be run back through the House, but then it can go straight to Biden. The resolution, I'm not 100% sure on.
Yeah.
Like, it might just go to the Senate and then get voted on.
Mm-hmm.
Which you got Kyrsten Sinema doing her thing too.
Yeah.
Say she doesn't support it.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in this process, it doesn't fucking matter now because that's already that ship's coming. That ship's already set sail.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, and unfortunately, this is a story out of my fucking state of Georgia. Some of you probably know, Georgia managed to become a blue state against all odds last election by voting in two Democratic senators. One of whom is the Reverend Warnock. Well, he's got a Republican challenger coming up in the Senate for Reverend Warnock. That's Trump ally Herschel Walker, former football player, and also apparently a domestic abuser. But he is officially running for his Senate seat here in Georgia.
Yeah, despite living in Texas.
Yeah.
He lives in Texas, and his wife is under investigation for voter fraud. Because she tried to vote in Florida, I think, while still living in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think not necessarily being registered there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's a lot of shit going on with Herschel Walker.
Oh God, yes.
Especially probably some of it brought on by CTE. Mm-hmm. Stuff from playing football for most of his life. They said a lot of stupid shit.
Yeah.
And it continues to push the big lie, so...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that he's going to necessarily have a great chance against Warnock.
Because
obviously Warnock has a lot of history with Georgia.
Oh, yeah. And he was the preacher in Dr. King's church, so... Yeah.
Versus an outsider, essentially, that... His only claim to fame is that he was the star running back at Georgia.
Yeah.
The main state college.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a runner here at UGA. But, no, I don't think he has a good chance here either. Especially because, let's be honest, the Republicans here in Georgia are really, really fucking racist.
But football is the one thing that unites them.
Apparently.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next up, as we speak, Hurricane Ida is fixing to hammer Louisiana and probably affect a good chunk of the South. Yeah. That's looking like it's going to hit New Orleans probably early tomorrow.
Yeah, sometime tomorrow, Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's looking like it's turning into like a Category 4 storm.
Mm-hmm.
Conveniently hitting around the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So not great news for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's looking like it's going to hit like tomorrow night. Maybe at like 130 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of winds.
Yeah.
Will die down as it hits through, you know, Alabama and Mississippi, maybe northern part of Georgia, through like Tennessee, West Virginia, Kentucky there,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So, yeah, hopefully people can stay safe. I think they're doing evacuations now for people
yeah.
in these sort of levee areas.
Yeah.
Particularly places that are likely to flood.
Yep.
Talking like potentially 10 to 15 feet in number of areas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and yeah, it looks like New Orleans might end up getting flooded again.
Hopefully they're better prepared for it than...
Well, you would hope after the shit show that was Katrina that they would have built up their resources afterwards.
And done a better job of getting people out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Ahead of time.
Yeah, so, cross your fingers if you're in that, you're safe. And be smart. If they tell you you might want to evacuate, get the fuck out of there. I don't care if you have to bike somewhere to get out of there. Just do it.
I'm sure they have buses and
yeah.
to get people out of there. It's like your stuff can be replaced, your house can be replaced, but not...
You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of cataclysmic shit, greenhouse gas levels are now the highest they've ever been in the past 800,000 years. Now, Before we go in there, there actually is one, like, reason to explain this. There's a lot of greenhouse gases that are actually locked into the glacial ice.
Yeah.
And as everybody knows, those have been melting fairly frequently over the last few years. And, well, do the math.
Yeah, we've hit 412.5 parts per million in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
That's 2.5 parts per million higher than 2019.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's now officially the highest ever observed.
Mm-hmm.
And the way they kind of know that's how far this goes back is through ice core records.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you can tell, they can see how much carbon is trapped in that ice and figure out sort of how long ago that deals with.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's a... let's see. The report also said the amount of carbon from fossil fuel emissions in the oceans in 2020 was the highest it's been
mm-hmm.
on the 39-year record and 30% higher than the average amount measured from 1999 to 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the ninth year in a row that the global sea levels have hit a new record.
Mm-hmm.
Global sea levels are rising a little more than 1 inch each decade because glaciers and ice sheets are melting.
Mm-hmm.
The oceans are heating up.
Yep.
Global surface temperature in 2020 was also among the three highest ever recorded in data going back to the 1800s.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Again, reminder, as bad as this sounds, it only becomes a really awful world-ending, shit if we do nothing about it. And people are already doing shit about it as we speak.
Yeah.
So... don't get all doomy and gloomy about it. It's easy to fall into despair, but remember that there are people who are actually working every day to make sure that the worst does not happen. Anyway, speaking of the worst happening, a nest of nearly 1,500 Asian giant murder hornets have been eradicated in the state of Washington.
Yep. Near the town of Blaine along the Canadian border.
Yep.
Like Vancouver's been dealing with some issues with this stuff as well.
Mm-hmm.
This is sort of the first big nest they found of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Located in the base of a dead alder tree in rural Whatcom County, about 2 miles from a nest the agency eradicated last October,
mm-hmm.
1/4 mile from where a resident reported live sighting of an Asian giant hornet on August 11th.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about 1/4 mile from the Canadian border. And yeah, they are... you know, the world's largest hornets.
Mm-hmm.
Not native to North America, obviously. But prey on honeybees and other insects.
Mm.
They can destroy a hive in a matter of hours. And yeah, first detected in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, good news.
Yep. Fun, fun, fun. Now for some genuinely fun news. Scientists have discovered a 43-year-old million-year-old fossil of an amphibious four-legged whale. That's right, a four-legged amphibious whale.
Yeah.
This
was a team of Egyptian scientists found this fossil in the Sahara Desert,
mm-hmm.
which, used to be an ocean.
Mm-hmm.
This creature had unique features of the skull and that its mandibles suggested capacity for more efficient oral mechanical processing.
Mm-hmm.
Had kind of a strong raptorial feeding style. Discovered how fierce and deadly its powerful jaws are capable of tearing a wide range of prey.
Mm-hmm.
This whale was a god of death to most of the animals that lived in its area. The new whale is called Phaeomycetus anubis. Mm-hmm. Son is named in parts after Anubis, the canine-headed Egyptian god, associated with mummification in the afterlife. It's likely a top predator at the time, similar to what a killer whale is today.
Mm-hmm.
And whales, it turns out, used to be herbivorous, deer-like terrestrial mammals. Mm-hmm. It's been about 10 million years, whales turned into carnivorous creatures in the ocean. Discovery of the four-legged creature is part of that evolution.
Mm.
So, yeah.
All right.
Good luck with that shit.
Yeah. Now, kind of explains why so many whales seem to get washed up on the beach. Genetic memory.
Or climate change shit.
Yeah, that's probably it. All right, now we got some entertainment news, folks. Next up, Netflix picks up Manifest for its fourth and final season.
Yep, great news. Kind of people were disappointed to see the show get canceled by NBC, especially after it showed up on Netflix and got a lot of people's attention, especially myself. I need to keep watching some more of it. But yeah, this new season will be about 20 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
More than any of the seasons that were on NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if it's going to be in multiple parts or whatever, but that's what they're planning as of the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's exciting that they're going to be able to help let it finish.
Mm-hmm.
In a hopefully a satisfactory way. I don't know.
Yeah. I'll see. Next up, we finally got some more imagery and information about the live-action Cowboy Bebop series that Netflix is going to have, and it's going to be premiering November 19th.
Yeah. Yeah, we got some screenshots of different parts. There's one of the, I forget what the episode is, the one that takes place in a church where Spike faces his old buddy.
Mm-hmm.
There's like a good screenshot of that part of the show. Some of just the three main characters hanging out on a couch. John Cho doing his thing. And Mustafa Shakir's Jet Black, which looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, looks really nice. Looking forward to seeing this.
Mm-hmm. All right. And finally, last story for the night, we got a teaser trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. And I believe the sort of premise here is that people find out that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Yeah, that was the end of the last movie.
Yeah, so he decides to go to Doctor Strange and see if he can, like, warp the universe in such a way so that everybody forgets that he was Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And it ends up fucking with reality.
Yeah, just like most things Doctor Strange does.
Yeah.
Also has a lot of that kind of special effects to it, like the Doctor Strange movie had.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, brings in multiverses, like potentially some of the other Sony Spider-Man movies.
Mm-hmm.
As Alfred Molina's Doc Ock shows up. That kind of stuff. And there's hints at, like, Electro from the second or the first, I don't know which one. I think it might be the second Amazing Spider-Man movie.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was played by, I forget who that is.
Mm.
But yeah, that's potentially one. Sandman, seems like there are hints at that. Green Goblin's little grenade thing shows up, so that's likely to be in there as well. So yeah. And we're likely to see the other Spider-Men at some point. So, yeah, kind of exciting stuff.
Yeah.
And this teaser trailer does a good job of showing you enough stuff to kind of confuse you on the aspect of what it all is a part of.
Yeah.
I think people think that there's Peter Parker's lawyer shows up. People think that might be Matt Murdock.
Mm-hmm.
Daredevil. I don't know if it's going to be the one from the Netflix show or whatever, but you know, a lot of potential here.
Mm.
And also you get to see Doctor Strange in a hoodie and a parka.
Because
his whole lair is just frozen in snow, covered in snow. So, yeah. That'll be out December 17th.
Yep.
Mostly in movie theaters. Unfortunately,
but all right, I do believe we got ourselves a show, folks. Yes, we do. So I'd like to remind all of our listeners, if you want to get a question, a comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get in contact with us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. We got a link for it in the show notes. Also, on top of Apple Podcasts, you can catch our little bit of unscripted shenanigans at TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, or really any kind of podcast aggregator you can think of. And if not, well, we're not there yet, and you find a podcast aggregator we're not involved in, don't worry. Just give it a few minutes. We'll be there. We're kind of like COVID. We are inevitable. If you haven't caught us yet, you will. Yeah. So with that, I have been your host, Brandon Perkins. For Chris Elogi, I want to say good night, sleep tight, and as I will continue to say from now until the end of the pandemic, if you have not been vaccinated yet and you are allowed to be vaccinated and do not have any health reasons why you can't be vaccinated, please get the vaccine. I would like to be able to go out without having to wear a freaking mask at some point in my life.